This is the Rich Eisen Show.
How about sexiest bald man alive?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
To choose Prince William? What's going on? He's not fully bald. I need the names and I need the email addresses of these people.
Earlier on the show, Super Bowl champion quarterback Drew Brees. From the Fox comedy The Moody's, Dennis Leary. Coming up, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All righty, everybody. Welcome to hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show. We've already had Drew Brees, hour one. Dennis Leary, what a great conversation that was.
Oh, so funny.
Do you think Bill Belichick, as he's strolling around the turf at The Ohio State University?
Oh, he's in Alabama.
Was he at Alabama?
He's in Alabama.
I thought he was at The Ohio State. He's
nah,
at Alabama.
He's in Alabama.
Do you think, as Bill Belichick was chilling with Nick Saban, and rubbing shoulders with everybody, right? Because we missed the combine this year, right, where our cameras, and I always, in our pre-combine meetings with NFL Network, I'm like, we can't show the coaches and general managers and owners in the stands, in the suites enough.
Yeah.
Just seeing them chit-chat, and certainly when coach of team A and coach of team B are like chit-chatting in a suite, people dig it. But we missed that this year. The pro days, we're getting to see it, right?
Oh, we're getting it. Everyone right. is at Alabama right now. Like Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch were just giddy watching Mac Jones throw bombs while Belichick and Saban just laughing it up 10 feet away.
Fun stuff, man. Fun stuff. Do you think Belichick knew as he's doing that Dennis Leary was on the Rich Eisen Show talking about how Belichick gave him tips on how to be a good coach Vince Penn in draft day?
I have no explanation for what happened.
That's what he basically said.
Probably.
I mean, it was a great conversation.
Bill knows
there.
Everything.
And to talk about all this intrigue before you get to your news update. And our phone lines are lit. We'll take your phone calls in this hour as well at 844-204-RICH here on NBC Sports on Peacock, which starts every day with Pro Football Talk and ends with PFT PM every single day. Mike Florio, kind enough to join me here once again here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Mike?
Doing great, Rich. How are you, pal?
Better for talking to you. Let's start with, I guess, the Friday draft trades and all the intrigue that is now coming off of that. Did the 49ers just peg with the Dolphins at third overall, the guy who they want, and never knock on the door with the Jets? What can you tell me about all of their maneuverings at the top of the draft and who it might be for?
Well, it reminded me exactly of what the Jets did in 2018 when 6 weeks before the draft they moved from number 6 to number 3. They invested 3 second-round picks in that flip-flop they did with the Colts. And once you do that, once you lock into that spot, what you are telling the world is, no matter who the first 2 picks are, we sufficiently love whoever would be left over. So if you've got 3 guys that you would gladly make your franchise quarterback, your guy for the next 10 or 15 years, a player for whom you eventually are giving up 3 first-round picks and a third-round pick, and let's not confuse that. All this talk in the current offseason about 3 first-round picks as a starting point for Deshaun Watson, 3 first-round picks offered for Russell Wilson, the 49ers will have given up 3 ones and a 3 to get this guy, whoever it is. And they presumably would be thrilled if Trevor Lawrence falls to 3. He won't. If Zach Wilson falls to 3, he likely won't. And then they've got a third guy, whether it's Mac Jones, whether it's Justin Fields, whether it's Trey Lance. There's a quarterback that they're happy to take even after the Jaguars and the Jets have secured dibs on 1 and 2. And it's clearly a quarterback after the press conference yesterday with Coach Kyle Shanahan and GM John Lynch. It's clearly a quarterback. The question now is, who is it? And they got 30 days to continue to hold that close to their vest and enjoy the fact. And this is part of it too, Rich. They get to enjoy the fact for the next 30 days, the 49ers and what they're going to do with the third overall pick is all anyone's going to talk about. It's free publicity for the brand for the next 30 days. just like with the Rams. Remember the Rams 2016? Jeff Fisher loved every second of having the first overall pick in the draft, and he wasn't telling anybody what we already knew. They were taking Jared Goff because he loved the fact that the Rams had the first overall pick in the draft for weeks before they had to actually call out a name.
Well, I mean, Justin Fields ran a 4.44 earlier today, Mike, and it just led me to take a pause on the Zach Wilson Broadway Zach or Zach's Fifth Avenue, as I saw on my Twitter feed earlier today. that you know, usually things change and rumors fly and positions change. Do you think it's possible that the Jets do have some sort of intrigue at two overall, and that includes eventually keeping Sam Darnold, that they're so damn close to the vest on all of this?
Mike? Well, I think when Zach Wilson rolled right to left and threw that laser down the field on Friday at his pro day,
yeah,
that probably ended any debate or discussion about what the Jets, who have been trying and failing since Joe Namath to have a franchise quarterback, a true franchise quarterback, year in and year out, guy that's going to make you a contender. When you see that Mahomesian quality in a guy who's entering the NFL and you've earned the spot, you don't have to trade up. You're there.
Yes.
You're not giving up anything. This is the reward for being crap last year. This is great, falling right into their hands because the Jaguars are clearly taking Trevor Lawrence. I got a theory, Rich, and they make fun of me on the show. They call me Conspiracy Mike when I say this, but I got a theory that Urban Meyer, the Jaguars coach, specifically didn't go to the Zach Wilson pro day because he didn't want to have any doubts in his mind as he stood there and, as he says, like to hear the ball come out of the guy's hands. He just didn't want to do it. He knows he's taking Lawrence, and he doesn't want to have to reconsider or reevaluate after he gets blown away by Zach Wilson. So I think it's definitely Wilson at two. The question is, what does Kyle Shanahan have up his sleeve at number three?
Well, what's your best guess? We're hearing, you know, Daniel Jeremiah stopped me in my tracks when he came on yesterday, and he says that the general consensus is Mac Jones, and that's the guy who everyone was, you know, in New England was targeting. Maybe Belichick could just sit in the middle of the first round and get Mac Jones, and that now seems like an official pipe dream. Certainly seeing Mac at his pro day today. What do you think about all that?
The thing I love about Mac Jones, and I don't know whether it's the equipment manager's fault at Alabama, he just doesn't look like a football player. He doesn't look like his pads fit. He looks like Andy Reid at the PPK competition, early 1970s, right? It's like Bobby Lane, Joe Capp throwback, but the guy can do it all. The guy's got the footwork. The guy's got the accuracy. The guy's got all the skills to run Kyle Shanahan's offense, and I'll defer to Chris Sims, who played at Texas with Kyle Shanahan, has known him for years, and even though Shanahan won't tell Sims anything because he's a big mouth and a blabber, Sims knows the way Shanahan thinks, and he knows what quarterbacks are suited to plug right in to the Shanahan offense and operate it the way that Shanahan wants it to be operated. That's the big thing with Shanahan. I remember 2011, after the lockout ended, and there was question who the quarterback was going to be in Washington when the contenders were like John Beck and Rex Grossman. Grossman said, I know how to win this job. All I have to do is do exactly what Shanahan wants me to do. That's what he looks for. He's basically the kid with the joystick on the sideline with the quarterback doing exactly what Shanahan wants. He's devised plays that will work against the defenses that he knows are coming, and you will win if you can just deliver it the way that he wants. And Sims believes, as do others apparently, that Mac Jones is the guy who fits that criteria for Kyle Shanahan.
So if the Jets are taking that offense with them with Robert Saleh and Mike LaFleur, why don't they take Mac Jones? Since you want to have Broadway Joe's successor finally be, why not have it somebody from the same school?
Well, that's a good point. And I think if that would happen, Kyle Shanahan would be thrilled to have Zach Wilson still on the board because I think Wilson is all that stuff plus the crossbody throw with one foot on the ground, no feet on the ground, all arm. Forget about the obsession over mechanics. This is a guy who's got that shortstop quality that Mahomes has, funny body motion, any arm position, he can deliver the ball. So it's everything that Mac Jones has plus a little bit more. Not that it's a huge gap,
sure,
but it's enough of a gap that my guess is Shanahan would love it if there's some sort of a Jedi mind trick going on here and the Jets end up deciding that Mac Jones is their right pick.
And you know, Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show. I don't know which is my favorite soundbite from Kyle Shanahan's press conference on Monday. Him just being so honest about, you know, keeping Jimmy G, but if people want to come and make the team better in so many different ways, of course they'll listen, but you know, free agency, if they've gotten a new quarterback in free agency, that's a different story than drafting a rookie. You don't want to be in a position of needing the rookie to do well when you've got a veteran that the whole locker room loves. I mean, it was so refreshing to hear that honesty. And then being, you know, asked about the attributes of a quarterback that he might choose, and trying to extrapolate it to his love of Kirk Cousins, that answer was phenomenal in honesty and then also bristling at Cousins being his prototypical quarterback in the mind's eye of the media and then building Cousins back up by the end of a conversation where he realized he was towing the line of tampering. That was phenomenal. I'm wondering what you thought of that.
Well, Rich, Mike, the reason why Patrick Mahomes was never considered to be the pick for the 49ers at number two or number three once they traded down with the Bears in 2017 is because Kyle Shanahan believed that at the end of the 2017 season, Kirk Cousins would become a free agent, as he did. Washington was not going to tag him a third time. It would have been $34 million, which 3 years ago was a ridiculous amount. It still is a lot to pay for a quarterback for 1 year, but they weren't going to pay that to Cousins. So Shanahan was going to sign him. So he didn't evaluate Mahomes, didn't evaluate Deshaun Watson, didn't evaluate any of the quarterbacks because he thought he was getting Cousins, and then the trade for Jimmy Garoppolo goes down during the 2017 season, and that short-circuits Cousins. So Cousins, I've had on Shanahan's radar screen. I thought that maybe this year. Now, I think the Vikings had to keep Cousins around because if they try to move to a new quarterback, that potentially could set that team back and get everybody fired. But, yeah, there's been a sense that Shanahan wants a Cousins and that Cousins in the right system, when you don't expect him to do too much, when you just expect him to do the play that's called, and I had a head coach explain this to me. Kirk Cousins can run the play that's called. He can't run the play that isn't called, which the Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Kyler Murray's of the world can do, run away from pressure and make something happen on an impromptu basis. But Cousins can run the play that's called. And in Shanahan's offense, that's all you need, a guy who consistently and effectively and accurately can run the play that's called and deliver the ball. And with Shanahan, often enough, you're going to move the ball and you're going to score points. And I think that's what he sees in Mac Jones. And Nick Saban explained Mac Jones' attributes yesterday, and it almost sounded like he's saying, oh, this guy's just a game manager. But that's a good thing. If you have an offense that works, all you need is a game manager. You need someone to manage that offense. And if it's Shanahan's offense and it works, that's how you win football games and put yourself in championship positions.
Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show. Jenny Vrentis's article in Sports Illustrated speaking to a massage therapist under a pseudonym from Houston talking about Deshaun Watson and his behavior in her massage room and Watson's and the fact that she isn't part of this this Tony Busby group of accusers for the first time really made me pause and it was very and I'm not saying that I don't believe others' accusers, and that's obviously the razor's edge of this conversation here, but it really was bizarre. And you can't sit here and say she's looking for money. You can't sit here and say that she's making it up with a lawyer who started this whole thing on his Instagram account. What do you think about all of this?
Well, I agree with you completely. The fact that this is somebody who actually rejected the overtures of Busby's firm and decided not to be represented by Busby and is evaluating her rights with another lawyer in Houston. And frankly, when you look at everything she said, there isn't that bright line, obvious grounds for liability that some of the lawsuits that have been filed, most of the lawsuits that have been filed, if the allegations in the lawsuits are proven, there is liability on the part of Deshaun Watson. So it does give credibility just to the broader picture that's been painted by 19 lawsuits and now a 20th person who hasn't sued and may not sue. You know, Rich, if it's just two or three people and you can show that one of them, as Watson's camp apparently believes, was trying to extort, that there was consensual conduct, whatever the case may be, if there's just two or three and you can blow a giant hole in one of the claims, that's one thing. You get up to 19 or 20, okay, one of the claims may have a flaw. You can't account for the rest. And I think that's the problem Deshaun Watson faces at this point, Rich. And the sooner, and I don't want anybody to misunderstand me when I say this, because I think he needs to have a reckoning. He needs to make this right. He needs to make it right with all the individuals involved. I have been arguing for a week now there needs to be a mediation session where everyone comes together. You get a retired judge who's got the gravitas to make everyone feel like they're getting a day in court and work directly with every plaintiff and Deshaun Watson to bring satisfaction, closure, a sense of justice without a two-year process. That's the best outcome for Deshaun Watson. Mm. I just don't know that he can manage that because at the core of it all for the plaintiffs is Tony Busby, and no matter how much he says it's not about money, it is about money. And the problem now is, as Watson's waking up, Rich, to the reality that it's in his interest to resolve these cases now, from the perspective of a skilled and experienced lawyer who is in it for money, there's a premium if you want to do it now. And I think that's the challenge, trying to come up with a way to get all these people in the same room, get this resolved, and remove from it the Busby factor where he's going to recognize, I've got this guy on the ropes, so the price of every settlement goes way up.
So what does the league do under these circumstances, Mike? Because, again, you know, the Sports Illustrated story, the woman who told her story to Sports Illustrated said Watson never touched her and never threatened her, and his behavior, as it was described, is nothing short of shocking. Obviously, there are two other, or at least two other accusers who do say that he did force himself on them. Put them all together, and, you know, how do you decide? Is the league going to wind up having to decide whose story is believable and who isn't, and what to do with Deshaun Watson on this subject matter, or would a settlement make any sort of discipline from the league moot? What happens here?
Well, if the simple question is, what does the league do? And I don't mean this to sound like a smart-ass response, but the league will do whatever the league wants to do because it has the discretion, it has the ability under the various policies to fashion whichever outcome it thinks is best given these facts. And the entire personal conduct policy is driven by PR. 99.99% of all employers in America don't have something like this that regulates the private lives of employees. If you can show up for work, you got a job. If you're incarcerated and can't show up for work, you don't have a job. Anything else, that's between you and the civil courts, the criminal courts, whatever the case may be, for the most part. The NFL and the NFLPA have agreed to make this part of the existence of an NFL player because it does affect how all players and teams in the league are viewed, and the union's on board with it, and the league has the power to do whatever it wants. Now, I look at some precedent, and let me give you a couple of examples. Tyreek Hill, a couple of years ago, when there were some troubling allegations in the confines of the offseason program happening, they struck a deal for him to just stay home. And then by the time training camp rolled around, he had gotten whatever clearance he needed to get from the criminal system that it was okay to move forward. Ben Roethlisberger, 2010, no arrests. There was one civil suit that was filed against him in 2009. There was an incident in 2010. Nothing ever happened from the perspective of arrest, charges, verdicts, but the commissioner still said, there's enough here for me to be troubled. And that's where I think this is, Rich. There's enough there for the commissioner to be troubled. The question becomes, at what point does the league say, we have to take action? We have to put you on the commissioner exempt list. Or if it all would get settled right now, and this is why I mentioned Roethlisberger, if it all would get settled right now, if they'd have a mediation tomorrow and all 19 plaintiffs come out of that room believing they got justice and it's over and they're satisfied, there's still enough there, based on Roethlisberger's case, that the league could say, Deshaun, this requires an intervention. That's the word that Goodell used with Roethlisberger. We need to take a closer look at this. There needs to be discipline. There needs to be action. There needs to be involvement. And there's already enough then. This all ends today. There's already enough for the commissioner to suspend Deshaun Watson if he chooses to do so.
All in the middle of Watson saying he wants out. All in the middle of all of this, where we spent weeks talking about his trade value and his worth and how he's done playing for the Texans. This just seems to be putting everything on a totally different plane on that front, Mike. That's just the way I feel. I'm wondering if that's the reality of it.
We can't be traded. After the first lawsuit was filed, the general manager said to me, how can anyone trade for him now? And I said, well, it's just one lawsuit. No one's investigated it. Everyone's got security resources at their disposal. They can figure this out. They can look into it. They can get by the time the draft rolls around to a point where they understand it. But then when it becomes 2 and 5 and 7 and 11 and 15 and 19, you can't trade them. And the ultimate irony here would be, and I never know whether I'm using that word right, thanks to Alanis Morissette, but the ultimate irony would be
yes.
that Deshaun Watson said, no way in hell am I ever playing for the Texans, and he wants out. And it could be the only way he gets paid this year, a football salary, is to stay with the Texans and be put on the commissioner exempt list, not play, but still get his checks. And at some point, the Texans have to ask themselves, do we just cut the cord and save the $10 million? It all depends upon how bad it gets. And we're still too early to know how bad it's going to get, and there may not be enough time between now and training camp for it to get to the point where it would be that bad. But it's look, it's unprecedented from the perspective of I can't recall a situation like this that any player has ever had to deal with. And it looks like there's no simple exit at this point for Deshaun Watson.
Mike, what do you got for later on PFT PM and tomorrow?
Well, Peter right King is joining me today for PFT PM, and there is a conference call with the commissioner and others at 3:30 Eastern. So whatever they say, we will be summarizing, reacting to. Obviously, we all expect the 17-game season to be official and various details related to that, plus whatever else they're doing today as the owners get together. So we'll have that all covered coming up later at 5 o'clock.
And then, of course, tomorrow on Pro Football Talk and all the other shows here on NBC Sports on Peacock, you know, whatever rule changes might be down the pike. We'll talk about that. Appreciate the time, as always, Mike.
Great talking to you, Rich.
That's Mike Florio here on The Rich Eisen Show. Let's take a break. We'll come back. You ready for your news update over there, Christopher?
Let's do
it. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on NBC Sports on Peacock, taking you to Brother from Another at the top of the hour. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at The Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Okay, I want to tell everybody, as we're back here on our simulcast, about this new docuseries that's on Peacock, John Wayne Gacy. Discover the story of one of the most notorious serial killers ever. John Wayne Gacy, Devil in Disguise, six-part docuseries streaming exclusively on Peacock. Sign up at peacocktv.com to stream now. Really creepy music, even creepier photograph, certainly since it's clown makeup and we're used to seeing Chris Brockman in that.
Come on, man.
Okay. You want to go to the phone lines and get ready for your news update, Chris?
Yeah, because I'm trying to redo this poll.
Okay, redo the poll question, which is...
Does Wilson, Fields, Mac Jones keep Darnold?
Should the Jets stay at two? Yeah.
Keep Darnold number one, though, so people see that first.
Mike is just do whatever you want to do.
I'm kidding.
You
know,
too late. Do
you tell Mike how to do the audio? Do you ever do that?
Never once.
No. Well, I mean.
Right. Okay.
Keep Darnold as the first choice. You're welcome.
Mike in New Jersey. Let's take his call right there in Jets country. What's up, Mike?
How's it going, guys? I'm a big Pats fan, and all this love with Mac Jones and Justin Fields had me in love with them.
Yes.
seeing today with Bill Belichick just laughing it up with Nick Saban and everything. Do you think Belichick, even after all this free agency stuff, is going to be crazy enough to trade up to number four, number five to get either Fields, Lance, or Jones? Because I'm hoping he does. Like, I love Cam, but I don't believe in the Garoppolo thing because I think Garoppolo is just going to be another bridge. I'd rather just get a young guy. We have Isaiah Wynn contract coming up. Trent Brown is playing on a one-year contract. So with the rookie contract, we could probably keep both, hopefully,
yeah,
if Belichick wants to keep spending money like he is.
Well,
I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, here's just real quick. If you want to get Mac Jones or Justin Fields and guarantee it, you're going to have to go to a certain spot. You're going to have to move up to number two. Have you ever heard of the phrase hell freezing over before, Mike? Have you ever heard that phrase? Because that phrase would be operative, because I can't even imagine. Would they have to include every duck boat in Boston? Would they have? What else would they have to include? Would they have to include
every Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah, all the Dunkin' Donuts.
all
of them.
Maybe Cumberland Farms, too. I'm not sure.
All of them?
Yeah.
How many Shawmuts?
Shaw's and Shop and Save, kid. Okay. So a lot of them.
Filene's basement.
I think they went out of business.
You know what I'm saying, Mike? That's not going to happen. And I just think, you know,
the Green Monster.
You have to throw that in there too. The parquet floor.
The parquet.
You
banners.
See what I'm saying, Mike? Yeah. You're not moving to two, and then there's three. So it would have to be Lance or Fields. I don't think. And thank you for the call. I don't think Fields is getting past four. No. Atlanta's not going to trade out. Atlanta needs to figure
Atlanta
out what's next
to,
for
yeah,
for
taking a quarterback.
For what's next for, you know, you just hire Arthur Smith, who turned Ryan Tannehill into
Matt Ryan, a major an force. MVP 3 years ago.
I understand that, but Matt Ryan is not the long term answer there. He's not going to turn into Brady, where he's playing till 44 and winning all those championships.
Probably not.
I mean, he's the natural, but I mean, there's a different story.
I don't think Fields gets past Atlanta.
Of course not. No way. Falcons fans would go crazy to get another
hometown
shot at Fields.
Kid.
I know.
Yeah,
they watched him go to Ohio to get his bones. Well, they held on to.
All right, updated poll. Yes. What should the Jets do at quarterback in 2021? Keep Darnold is the first option, Mike.
Yes.
Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Mac Jones.
At Rich Eisen Show.
Keep Darnold, 34%.
Yes.
Zach Wilson, 44%.
I told you, that's going to be neck and neck. They're going to be neck and neck. And Mac Jones, once everybody watches Total Access and SportsCenter later on today, they'll start pumping him for the Heisman.
Oh, yeah.
Which literally he was pumped for this year.
Well, he was a finalist.
I know.
He's going third overall, people.
Unless the Jets take him.
That's insane. That would be the most. By the way, please take
Mac
Jones second.
Don't say that was the most Jets thing.
Dude, they once took
Jeff Lagerman, okay? They took Johnny Land Jones. Please don't look at me and say what's the most Jets thing to do, okay?
I'm just saying, in 2021, that's me looking at you and saying Mac Jones.
It's the most Patriots thing to do, or it's the most, like, I feel like I'm expert at it, but I don't have the same emotional capital invested, okay? Please, don't you dare come here and look at me and say that.
It's been 2 months of Zach Wilson. Suddenly now it's Mac Jones?
We're not rational. How many times do I have to tell you we don't get it? Because it's every year.
We're back
again. I told you. I said to my brother, hey, it's Zach Wilson. Let's do it. My nephew Lee has a Tebow Jets jersey that he wanted.
That's insane.
When he was late in his teens, and he says to me,
you got it for him, right?
Uncle Rich, can you get me a Tebow jersey for Hanukkah? And I'm like, if I get it for you. Understand the only use you will have for it forevermore is an ironic and sarcastic Halloween costume. That's all it will be.
Nailed it.
He's like, I still want it. I got it for him. Was I right or was I wrong?
Oh, you were right.
Excuse me. Was I very right?
very right.
Max Fifth Avenue.
We are not rational.
Do you think your brother is going to call you today and say, you see Justin Fields pro day?
At some point, I will hear from him. He will get from his work wormhole.
Mr. Fields will come
out, and at some point, I will hear, at some point before the draft, from him or my nephew, well, what do you think?
Fields,
and it'll be, and this, and I'm, by the way, I'm just describing for you what every Jet fan is going to go through. every Jet fan is going to go through. It'll be, you're hearing Zach Wilson, Zach Wilson, Zach Wilson, then all of a sudden Mac Jones, and then all of a sudden Justin Fields, and it'll be, no, no, it's Zach Wilson. They have absolutely been done Zach Wilson. I came on the air and said the 49ers trading with the Dolphins means it's Zach Wilson. And then you're going to hear right before the draft, could be Justin Fields. Hold on, it's going to be Mac Jones. And then it'll be, no doubt, it's Zach Wilson, Zach Wilson. Jets are on the clock. And then they'll take all the way down to 0 seconds, and everybody's going to be like, what the hell are they waiting for? I heard all winter long that it's going to be Zach Wilson. And I fell in love with his hair, and I fell in love with his Jimmy Clausen face. And now you're telling me it's somebody else? Like, what are they waiting for? It's going to happen. Then they'll come out and they'll say Mac Jones. And you'll say, I told you so. And I'll be like, shut up. It's not a rational way of acting. I totally get it. All right, we're very late for your news update.
It's all right. Well, we can go. We'll go quick.
Okay, here we go. Here's Chris Brockman's news update on the Rich Eisen Show.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, Chris, what do you got over
there? All right, first up, breaking news, hot off the press, guys. 17 regular season games is official.
There you go.
NFL clubs today approved at a virtual league meeting an enhanced season structure. This is an NFL memo. Beginning in 2021, that features each team playing 17 regular season games and 3 preseason games.
Okay.
Ooh. Roger Goodell said, monumental moment in NFL history, and one that benefits each team playing 17 games, the ability for us to continue to grow our game around the world.
All right. And what's it? What did they come up with it, by the way? I got to find out whoever came up with this one and give him a pat on the back. Enhanced, what is it called?
It's not enhanced, an expanded season structure.
We are not going to expand the schedule. No. We are going to enhance the season structure. Fantastic.
Last line of the memo, guys. The 17th game will feature teams from opposing conferences.
Yes, okay.
That finished in the same place within their division the previous season.
Okay, so in the same way that the current schedule structure is, every team in a division plays the same opponents with the exception of two.
The division winners, right?
Correct. Every team in the NFL, every division in the NFL, every team in the division plays the same teams with the exception of two. What that means is, let's take the AFC East. I'll explain it to everybody here. What you just said. Put it into your terms that hopefully everyone can understand. The AFC East, let's just take, okay, the Jets. All right. Because we know they finished in DFL in their division last year.
Correct.
So next year, the AFC, the Jets will play obviously everyone in their division, as will the Bills and the Patriots and the Dolphins. And then they will play a division that's already been determined elsewhere in the AFC. So will the Patriots and the Jets and the Dolphins will play the AFC, whatever it is next year. You're looking it up right now, I'm sure.
The South.
Okay. So every team in the AFC East will also play a predetermined division in the NFC. All of them will play all of that as well next year.
Yes.
Now, I don't know which division that is. This year it was the NFC West, as we know, because the Jets came out here to Los Angeles and mistakenly beat them. So those are the same. The only difference is the Jets will play next year the last place finishers in the AFC North, in the Bengals, and the last place finisher in the AFC West, which I believe is the San Diego Chargers or the Denver Broncos. It's the Broncos. Okay. That's the only difference. And the Bills will play the first place winner in the AFC North and the first place winner in the AFC West.
Right.
So congratulations. We will see Buffalo play Kansas City once again, the AFC Championship.
So now the 17th game will be in opposing conferences that finish in the same place of the previous season. And the AFC is going to be the home team for the 17th game.
Okay, so it'll be now they'll take another division
yep.
that the AFC East hasn't played, right? Correct? So they'll take another division, and yes. the Jets will play the last team, last place team in that one.
Right.
The Bills will place the first team in that one. Right. The Dolphins will play the second place team in that one, and the Patriots will play the third place team in that one and be the home team for that.
In the NFC.
Yes.
Right. In right. the NFC.
Right. And they'll be the home team.
That's it. I think we've explained it to yes. everybody.
So for me and Mike,
do we know? We don't know what that division is just
we
yet.
Don't know yet. So for me
I
and
understand.
So well, for it me, can't be. It, let's just put it this way. It can't be the West because they just played them, the AFC East.
Right. So it'll be
so
one
they'll field. Figure out what that is. And just like every year, the AFC East rotates between a different division in conference and a different division out of conference. There will now be a second division out of conference that will be in some sort of a rotation for a specific other conference's division that you need to figure out who finished in what place the year before. That's game 17 with, I imagine, a difference. Will next year, not this coming year, the year after will be the home team will be the NFC team.
Right.
The AFC team will have to play an extra game on the road.
Take that for data.
Thank you, sir.
So, Mike, we can't sell our tickets until 2022.
I'm not selling my tickets. I'm going every game.
I'm just saying.
We missed a year.
But you've got Vegas Raiders season tickets, too.
Oh, those will be. Those are. I get offers every week because they know we have tickets. From
people who are planning on going in a pandemic
casinos.
When they're not allowed to go?
No, casinos for next year.
What do you mean?
Because they want to buy the tickets to give them.
So you're getting emails from Steve Wynn?
I mean, people that
Dear
know,
Michael Del Tufo.
They're concierge. I mean, whoever their people are.
You look in your inbox, Wynn, Steve. How does he know onegreatmix.com or whatever the hell that
my
is?
My tickets are like $100. They're offering like $6,000 to $8,000 to $1,000 per game. It's like, that's an investment.
Mike Del Tufo.
I'm a Rams
fan. Admitting to scalping right here on the Rich Eisen.
First game of the season, guys, Thursday, September 9th in Tampa Bay.
Against? I think it's got to be. We already looked at this, right?
We have looked at this before. It would be amazing if it was New England, but it won't.
It's not going to be because they have to be
they're
at
in New
England.
England.
Right. No, here, Dallas plays New England, I think.
I think it's the Cowboys.
Yeah, it's the Cowboys. It's Dallas at New England.
There's no question. No, Dallas. By the way, it's not New England. It's Tampa won the division. Oh. I mean,
Dallas is a home opponent for Tampa.
It's
this
over.
Year.
It's
Tampa,
over.
Sorry.
Book it. End of story. Book it. Oh. Book it. Book it. Dak's
right,
back.
Can't.
Book it.
That's right.
Book it. Book it. When I say book it. Book it. They're not going to use a division game.
Yeah.
It ain't going to be Jameis or Taysom Hill going into Tampa.
Could be Buffalo.
No shot. No shot. I'm telling you. Get ready, TJ. Dak's return. You already know what it is.
You know, speaking of Dak, there's something I saw. I posted on Twitter today, Rich, about Dak. And, you know, everyone lost their mind when Zach mm-hmm. Wilson did that rollout throw during his pro day.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Everyone, no pads, no rush. Well,
right.
You know, there's a video that I posted where Dak did that against the Giants a few years ago, in game, in crunch time, threw a touchdown pass to Cole Beasley. And yet, on one hand, people are losing their mind because Zach Wilson made this play in pro day.
Yeah.
Dak does that in the game, and it's still like people doubt this guy. Like, he's not good. You know, people on Twitter hit me up, Dak's going to suck again next year. And I'm like, do you look at stats? How can you say this man sucks? I don't know. This has just been on my mind, and
look,
I wanted to share it with
and
you.
And I'm glad that you did. I'm just wondering, what is this, Chris? Is that TJ caping for Dak to get back at his Twitter trolls? Or is
that sounds about right?
Is, yeah. Is TJ saying Zach Wilson's worth $40 million a year?
I mean, yeah, definitely not the latter.
Okay,
closer to the former, less than the latter.
All right, real quick, before we have to get to break. Speaking of the Bucks, guys, did you see Bruce Arians' Twitter today? Apparently, Bruce had made a bet
ink?
When the Super Bowl. He's going to get some ink.
Oh yeah,
man of my word! When we win the Super Bowl, I will get a tattoo. He got. His today, look at that thing.
Now, here's the thing is we're if you
31 run, keep, to 9 Tampa keep, with the trophy.
Keep it on the screen here because I just got to see this
it's
here.
It's phenomenal.
It looks to me, again, can I just ask everybody who's I don't tat up. I don't have any.
No, I don't have any.
I'm tatted.
Are you okay? Anybody who's going to tweet out a photograph of a tat,
said tat,
you've got to
tat.
Widen out a little bit here, okay? Because really I don't want to guess where it is, okay? And it looks to me like we are seeing the back of his neck and the left ear
yes.
as he's lying
yes.
down in some sort of sort of, you know, training table or something like that. Okay. It looks like that's the back left shoulder of Bruce Arians.
Yeah, he's like this.
Because other than that, we are left to wonder, and I don't think that's fair for all of us who are just getting to see this, okay? So I ask everybody, can you widen out a little bit when you're showing us?
He's a 68-year-old man.
I understand. I get it. But just on behalf of everyone.
Well, he's got another shoulder for next year.
There you go. That's another shoulder.
LV1.
Brady's getting 68-year-old man inked.
All 22 starters back from the Super Bowl.
Oh, come on.
By the way, I think that is definitely never happened. In the salary cap era.
Wow.
All 22 are back.
And Antonio Brown might be coming too. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls and break our silence on a certain subject that we've been avoiding this entire show. That's coming up.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Let's get Alan Dallas in here. What's up, Al? How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you? I've been extremely consistent on this with this pick that the Jets have because my team was there a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, Richard, would you be that upset if they traded down?
They
need a lot, and they're giving it away.
I don't think Darnold is the answer. How does that sound?
There you go. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. You got the new coach. What are you going to do? And then you got a new coach, a new start. Get him his own person, and you can get something for Darnold. You play it right. You take Zach Wilson, and you got both Denver and Carolina, you know, on the clock, hungry, and you've got what's picks 3 through 7 to figure it out. That's damn near an hour. That's a long time. It's an hour to figure it out, and let's go. You know, or 40 minutes to figure it out. So
is that the official position of the Rich Eisen Show, or Rich Eisen
of now, Al? As you know, as you heard the entire show, I go back and forth. Call back again tomorrow. You know what I mean? I might have a different, opinion. You know, when it all comes down to it.
And yes, you're right. I'm not sure if they heard. It's your name on the front door.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Thanks, Al. Thanks for the call. It's Alan Dallas, everybody. Yeah, ask me again tomorrow. I remember I always asked that of one time I said, it's like I'd never heard it before, but I think he says it all the time. Tony La Russa, when he was with the Cardinals, I asked him in spring training, I'm like, how you doing, Tony? He goes, ask me in 9 innings. You know, I might change. You know how sometimes you've got a teammate that you love and you see they hit a home run,
yep.
They come back to the dugout, you act like he doesn't exist? We haven't asked you about The Price is Right and how you went yesterday, TJ Jefferson.
You haven't, have you?
Nope.
Wow.
Well, there it is. There is his. There's your price tag that you wore on your shirt.
That's awesome.
And what can you tell us about your stint yesterday on the set of The Price is Right as one of the possibilities of being called to contestants row? What can you tell us?
What can I tell you? It was about a 4-hour process.
Wow.
From start to finish.
Okay.
There was 12 of us.
Okay.
So 12 of us made the cut. We went through a minimum of 6 different casting producers.
Let's not talk about the past. Let's talk about what you can talk about.
The studio was cold.
Oh, yeah, it's cold.
It is freezing in there.
Can't talk Drew about Carey it. Was super cool. Okay, funny cool. guy.
Right. Funny guy. That means he met
funny
him.
Guy.
He taught. Well, he taught. We were all gathered together and he came over and he kind of.
I mean, he doesn't probably meet everybody in the studio audience when there's no pandemic, but when there's 12 of them.
There's 12 of them. 200 people? No, he can't. No.
Of course 12, not, yeah. 12,
and, okay. I brought your name up and he goes, from ESPN. I'm like, used to be different now.
It's been 18 years. there's a photograph right there.
There's a picture.
And, it looks, you know, we'll find out what happens on May the 4th.
May the 4th.
May the 4th be with you.
Yes.
Be with TJ.
Oh.
Star Wars Day.
Yeah. How heavy was the wheel?
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Say.
I'm not sure.
Nice try.
Yeah. Did I get called down? Did I not? I don't know. We'll have to tune in.
Hole in one or two?
I mean, for it would have been one, obviously. I mean, you see me on here.
Now that's
this is
the
only
sound.
One.
I know that, but the other one is my child. Like this, my childhood. Just hearing Johnny Olsen saying, "All this can be yours."
Rich.
The price is right.
This reminds me of a summer day. It's me and my grandma. I would hang in the house with her and watch Price is Right before I went out and kicked it and ran the streets of Altoona wild. You know, that sound reminds
TJ.
Me of that.
Good job.
You know what? And when, just play that music one more time. When I hear this music, I think of the More Cowbell sketch. Like that's the situation. It's the 70s. They're like, let's get the flute guy in here and let's make some pricing game music.
From Monaco to El Segundo.
And let's kill it. You know what I mean? And let's just kill it. Like, there's a person who's doing this music, like, if they're all done, they're like, I nailed that pricing game music. Like,
nailed it.
Like, yep. And, you know, and then somebody comes in, you know, Dickinson comes in and he goes, I need more flute. I need more flute. You know, like it sounds like it's
I
like
need
that
some piccolo. I need piccolo around.
Yeah. Who's got the flute? I need more flute. I need you to feel it. I need you to think like it's. I can't believe it's not butter. And it's like somebody needs to nail this price, and they're gonna get it because you're
spam.
Getting this music. Like,
we want to know what spam tastes like.
You know what I mean? I just think it's like the 70s. I think it's like it's Tarantino, and it's a you know, and that, and it's. You know, the one night in Hollywood, and it's just like, that's what it's like, and somebody's in there, and they just nail that session.
That music also reminds me of Janis, Diane, and Holly.
Of course.
Of course.
The ultimate pricing games. And Bob Barker with dark hair.
And the skinny Mike.
Skinny Mike, bro. That
Gene
was
Rayburn
it.
Had one
I
of
got
those.
One of those.
As you know, whenever I do game show stuff on NFL Network, I need the microphone.
I used to have that.
All right, May 4th.
May 4th.
It was a cool experience. And like, honestly, you know, when people say they get nominated for awards, you're like, I was just happy to be nominated. Yeah, and I think that's kind of crap. Well, but it was really cool when they told us how
congrats,
many people,
man. That's awesome.
You know, that we went through.
We've got a end of the show. Thanks to Drew Brees, Dennis Leary, and Mike Florio. Tomorrow, we'll talk more about this because as of right now, we have no guests. That'd be great.